podcastjuice.net.
She ignored the first sign, the business card. She ignored the second sign, the interview. And when the third sign came, she didn't care because she was hooked and there was no chance of turning back. They wouldn't allow it. In book one of Confessions of a Temp Call Girl, Blue Roses James, aka Blue, was simply looking for something more than what she currently has, which was nothing. Determined to earn a better wage and to fulfill her foolish adolescent needs, Blue blindly takes on an entire company, not knowing that she has bitten off more than she can chew, but she won't go down in the blaze of glory alone. So she drags her two most trusted comrades with her, Kanitha, aka Boom Chic, and Katie, aka Miss America, along for the dreaded ride. Want to know what happens next? Go to Amazon.com to purchase your copy of the new thriller, Confessions of a Temp Call Girl, written by Tori McGlory. If you're looking for a great read you can grow with, make Confessions of a Temp Call Girl a part of your book collection today. Available now and on sale at Amazon.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Michael Dean Show. My name is Michael Dean. And today we are going to be talking about the movie Suicide Squad. So let's get right into it. To help me out, we have Miss Tori McGlory. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, y'all.
All right. So we just saw this movie. Actually, I've seen it twice. We just came from the theater, right?
That's right.
Yeah, tell them, Gracie. All right. So I'm going to let you start. What did you think of the Suicide Squad?
Overall, I really enjoyed the movie. I've been reading some reviews, actually negative reviews, and I don't know what they're talking about. But, you know, me being from the outside, not being like a comic book junkie or, you know, that type of person, I really enjoyed the movie. I want to see it a second time, and Harley Quinn is my hero.
All right. Well, let me say this off the top. We're going to be talking about some spoiler stuff. So we may talk about some plot points. So if you haven't seen the movie, you probably want to stop. If you just don't care, then keep going. So we're going to get back to you in a second here. But you said you liked the movie, right?
Yes, I enjoy the movie.
Okay. So real quickly, I'm just going to give you my thoughts, and then we're going to get into sort of like pluses and negatives and things of that nature. Listen, I saw the movie the first time a couple of days ago, and my expectations were very high based off of the trailers. And, of course, I was a big fan of Batman v Superman, which is the movie that precedes this because they're all connected. And so I was had my high expectations. And also, I'm a huge fan of David Ayer, if I'm saying his name right, who is the director of this movie. Now, I know him because he wrote Training Day, which is one of my favorite movies. He wrote and directed Harsh Times, which is another one of my favorite movies. He also did the movie End of Watch, which was very popular. And he also did Sabotage, the movie with Schwarzenegger. Came out a couple years ago. And I like that one, too. And then I think his last big movie was Fury. With Brad Pitt, which I have not seen. And then he also directed the movie Street Kings with Keanu Reeves years ago. So most of those movies I just named are very hardcore street, dirty cop movies. I think three out of the four are set in South Central Los Angeles. He grew up in South Central Los Angeles. He's very much about that real hardcore, gritty, bleak sort of storytelling, which I'm a fan of. So when I heard that he was going to be doing Suicide Squad, I'm like, whoa, this movie's going to be crazy. So with that said, here's my takeaway from this movie. First time I saw the movie, I just thought it was cool. I was like, okay, you know, there's a lot going on here and there's a lot not going on here, which we'll get into. But the second time I seen the movie, I just enjoyed it, man, for what it is. It's a fun movie. I love all the characters. Will Smith is my dude. Viola Davis, Amanda Waller, knocked it out of the park. And the glimpses of Joker, I thought were excellent. And then the Harley Quinn character, which you said, excellent. So I had a great time with the movie. It's not a perfect movie, but it's fun. It's a definitely a fun movie, and it's action-packed. Now, Tori, I want to go back to you.
Yes.
And I want to see, I want to hear the things you didn't like about the movie, if there are anything you didn't like about the movie. What were some of the negatives about it?
Oh, wow. Negatives for me in that movie, you know what? This may sound really crazy. Again, not being, you know, a comic book junkie or whatnot, not having the history of these characters, I can't really say that there is any negatives for me. And I don't know, maybe that sounds a little naive and some people may not like that, but you did ask me the question. So my answer is no negatives for me. All great. You know, I personally would have liked some more of Harley Quinn. I think she should really have her own movie. I don't know if they're going to do that, but it would be really great if they did. But, you know, I overall, I really enjoyed it, and I can't really see any negatives for me. So what about you?
I have a couple.
Oh, wow. Let's go.
So here's the first thing I would say this. I wanted the movie to be even more hardcore. Because I was just expecting a very dark movie, only because the writer director, he really does dark stuff. And these are not heroes in this movie. These are the bad guys, you know. So I wanted them to be, and they are bad guys, but I really wanted them to be like, you know, there's a part when Harley Quinn is talking to that Diablo character and he talks about he killed his kids. And she's like, own that shit.
Right,
and I was
right.
Like, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to really see them own. Yeah, I wanted to see them own them being these despicable people. But I understand that they had to make them, you know, sort of be heroes, anti-heroes. So I get that. The other thing I would say is I think that the movie was edited a little too harshly. It seems as there might be things that were cut out. And I say that because of the Joker, which if you look at the trailers and stuff, he was marketed pretty heavy in the trailers. And there's parts in the trailers that aren't even in the movie. So that's a little kind of, I don't know what's going on with that. Maybe they tried to pull it back a little bit because they might have thought the movie was a little too harsh or something. Probably because of the backlash that was coming from people about Batman v Superman. So maybe they wanted to make it a little more lighthearted in certain senses. And it works. But I really would like, again, I don't have a fact, but I can tell that there may have been another version of this movie that got changed for whatever reasons. So that was the other sort of negative. There's a few little story things going on in terms of the bad guys, villain, and just some of the kind of random fight scenes that seem to pop up. But it was still fun to watch that. I don't know if I call that a negative. But other than that, it's just that I wanted more of the characters. And maybe that's not a negative. It's just that they were so good. Like, you want to see more Harley Quinn.
Right.
You want to see more Joker. You want to see more yes. Will Smith. Shit, I wanted to see more Batman, but it's not a Batman movie. It was
exactly.
Just that he was badass. And I love to see that. So let's go to the positive things that we got. And we may have to take a break here because we got one of the members. She's not too happy about this movie. Are you okay with the movie, Gracie? I mean, you haven't seen it, so you wouldn't be okay anyway. Don't take it. That's another thing. Don't take your kids this movie. Can I rant for a second?
Oh, go right ahead, brother.
So we're sitting in the theater, and here comes your people, your other people. Did they have a baby or child sitting next to you or something?
Yeah, a toddler that was out of control.
Why are you bringing toddlers? First of all, why are you bringing toddlers to the movies?
Exactly.
Because I'm not paying the money to hear your kid voice overpower the speakers. I just don't get that. Why, if your kid's talking, why don't you pick the kid up and take him outside? We don't think it's cute. Like, not my child. I don't That's not cool. Like, go outside, calm them down, and then bring them in. Have some respect for everybody else in the theater, man.
No, I totally agree with you. And I just want to throw in there that, you know, don't bring your toddlers, don't bring your little kids to movies like that. Actually, I think they should pass some type of law as far as moviegoers and going, you know, to the movies, that your child or your kid needs to be a certain age. I mean, the movie's already PG-13. It's not, you know, too out of control, but when you have little kids like that screaming and hollering and you know acting out, don't ruin it for everybody else. You know, I don't know, you know, who to call or what letters to write to whomever, but they really need to address that issue, because it really is, it's really, you know, ridiculous to me that these little kids are in the movie theater and the parents, like, you know, are morons pretty much, because they're not doing anything. You know, you can't control your child, but don't bring the child out in public and ruin it for everybody else. You know, stay your black ass home.
Wow. Are they wearing black?
Well, stay your white ass at home then, with your hollering brat.
You know, the other part too is that I think the theaters, they just need to have like a kids only showings or something. You know what I mean? Like, okay, you're going to bring your young one. Cool. Then just have it where they just be a whole bunch of them, so y'all can just let them yell and it won't bother other people. And at least people can choose to go or not to go in that room if they know it's a kids showing, as opposed to just regular people paying their money have to be disturbed. You know what I mean? Like,
sorry to burst your bubble, but it's not going to happen, because that's going to be too high risk of a issue to have a kids only showing. Could you imagine a theater? They're going to tear it up.
Well, they already have kids going to these movies already with the Disney movies. It's mainly kids, but you expect them to be young kids in that, right? Like, that's the expectation. I'm not going to go in there and be tripping if it's kids talking, because that's a kids movie. But okay. I'm just saying, since they're going to have people that want to take their movie to non-kids movies, they should have a kids-only one, so that regular people, we don't have to hear that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not even getting into the question of should they be in a PG-13 movie or, you know, the movie of this type of theme. That's a whole different. I'm just talking about, I'm paying my money regardless of the theme. I don't want to hear it. Like, right. Separate that stuff, man. Let them have a kid's room or something. You know, it's the same rules would apply, but at least I know as a consumer, I don't have to hear it. Like, and the parents are being held accountable. No, you can't take your young kids in there.
Okay.
It's not a
place. Case in point. Take your kids to a damn Disney movie and leave the adult movies to the adults. Period. Okay, let's move along, shall we?
And like I said, I won't even get into the tone of it, because the ratings say you can take a kid in there. So that is what it is. But same would go for like teenagers. So, no, you can't be in there using your phone. Like, have a phone room. You can't bring your phone. I would personally, if I own a theater, I would have a thing set up so when you brought your phone, it would kill, though. It wouldn't even get no signal in the room. It's like, why am I getting this? Oh, because we killed the signal. You don't like it, don't buy a ticket. You ain't got to come in here.
All right.
All right.
Michael Dean.
Yeah, hey, this $16 is no joke.
Why would you pay $16 for a movie, first of all?
Average ticket price is $16.
Oh, please. Give me the matinee. I am the matinee early bird first movie queen.
Well, true. But, you know, average price, you know, most people are not going to matinees. But anyway, and we're going to get into some of the positive things of the movie. What are some of your, I think all of it's positive to you, but give me some of the things that you really liked about the movie.
What I really enjoyed about the movie, Harley Quinn. No, I'm joking. Besides Harley Quinn, I really liked Viola Davis's character. She's a bitch, and a good bitch. I don't know if that makes sense, but she knows her stuff and her job, and she played that part really, really well. And I really liked that. I liked all of it. I wish it was longer, but I know they're not going to make it longer.
What was your favorite part in the movie?
My favorite part in the movie, let's see, all of Harley Quinn's parts, but my favorite part in the movie, I would say, is when, towards the end, when the witch, which is a horrible, evil character, she tells them to, you know, surrender, bow down to me, you know, kiss my feet, lick my toes or whatever. And Harley Quinn's like, okay, you know, let's go ahead and do this. And she, you know, approaches her and she's like, well, can you bring my pudding back? And, you know, the pudding is Joker. And she pretty much tricks her and, you know, snatches her heart right out of her chest, her green heart, might I add, and saved the day. So, I mean, another reason why I like Harley Quinn, she pretty much saved the day or saved the world, you know. So that was my favorite part. What was your favorite part, Michael Dean?
My favorite part, first of all, one of my favorite parts was Batman. I love Ben Affleck as Batman, and I love the part when he approached Will Smith, Deadshot character, in the alley with his little girl, and he's like, we got to do this in front of your daughter. And they start, you know, getting it in the streets, and Deadshot's about to take Batman out, but the little girl, his daughter, jumps in and says, no, Daddy. Now, conspiracy brother could go ham on that scene. Because, you know, it's showing, you know, the man trying to take out the black father in front of his child in the streets. And you know, and the little girl steps in front and saves white daddy. But
stop it.
You know, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do that today. But that was badass to me. Actually, a lot of Will Smith stuff was very exciting to me. The part where he gets to really go off and have his like action scene, and he's taking out all them like zombie characters.
Yeah,
that was dope. Man. Deadshot is putting in work. You know, he's about that life. I thought that was great. Another scene. I love the scenes with the Joker. I just wish that they were longer. I love the scene when they go, and it's kind of like, the scene is kind of weird to follow, but they go to the laboratory, it's a Wayne, mm-hmm. Bruce Wayne building or something to kidnap that scientist guy. But I just like the way the Joker, he had that purple trench coat with the chains on, and how he just came. It was just a gangster to me. He was like a cross of like Scarface and some sick meth head nut. Drugged out coke dude or something. Like, he was on some other stuff. I really love kind of at least what I was getting from the Joker. He was, you know, he was a gangster. You know, he ran these streets. I don't understand. It just begs the question. I don't see how he's able to do what he's doing in Gotham when Batman is, you know, has got people under pressure. But, you know, I thought that was good. Amanda Waller was another one of my favorite scenes. I love the scene where she is at the Pentagon and, you know, she brings the witch out. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, she's actually the villain of the movie to me.
Right.
She's actually way more vicious. She is in line with David Ayer's other stuff. Like, she is a cutthroat person and she's a murderer.
Pretty much.
You know, there's a problem. She just guns down all those people. I was like, whoa. And Viola Davis, man, she played that character like,
yeah, she is, and coming up,
yeah, and if you know the character from the comics or the cartoon, she's like that, like that's they did her really well.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Let me see what else. Again, Harley Quinn, excellent. I wasn't a super fan of that character, but very much works on the screen, and I thought was it Margot Robbie, she played that character, like she owned that character. Done. The chemistry between her and the Joker was also very well too.
Yes. Unbelievable chemistry. I mean, I liked everything about her. I liked her character. I even liked the way she dressed. I mean, even though she was dressed like a hooker, you know, with her butt cheeks showing out, mm-hmm. out and whatnot. But
that's right out the book. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. There you go. I mean, she, you know, everything about her, even a part in the movie where she, you know, like smashes a retail glass to grab some jewelry or something. And she's like, you know, hey, I'm a bad guy 24/7. Screw what everybody else think. I don't care if I'm here to save the world. Let me go ahead and cop this necklace, this chain real quick and get back on the mission.
Yes, true. Some of the other characters. Let's see. Who's another? I really like the Diablo character, the Mexican.
Oh, yeah.
S.A. Cat. Yeah, I didn't know much about him before, but his story arc, once you start to understand, they show his story, mm-hmm. is very compelling. But I really like his intro scene, and we got to talk about the music in this movie as well, because there's a lot of music in this movie. Mm-hmm. But the scene when they first show Diablo early on, and he's like coming out of his house, right. in the barrio, and they had that music, slipping in the darkness. It just set the tone. I was like, oh, this is some S.A., East L.A. type cat. I was like, oh, okay. You know, he had the ducky, you know, he had the chucks on, the wife beater. I was like, okay. And, you know, his face, he was looking crazy. But I really loved his character.
Yeah.
The whole point with his wife and the kids and stuff, yeah. That was tragic, man. That was some really good stuff.
Yeah, no, I agree with his character. Like, you know, I'm thinking in the beginning or at the beginning of the movie, you know, they pretty much showed him as a fire starter. But towards the end, he morphed into like this fire demon.
Yeah.
That was fighting the other demon. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Didn't he just spark fire from his hands? Now he a fire demon devil dude? Like, it was unbelievable.
There's a part earlier in the movie where he shows that to Boomerang. He does it real quick.
Oh, okay. Maybe
he flashes that demon face to him. Oh. So I think I don't know much about his character, but I kind of got the feeling that he was kind of like the witch.
Right. And
like he had that spirit or demon was in him.
Right, right.
And then he just let it loose. And so maybe he was a lot more powerful than they even, all of them sort of knew. Like, and he went out sort of a hero, you know, he sort of sacrificed himself.
He went out like a G that he was.
Yeah. When you say, it's on now, bitch. It's like hilarious. But yeah, the music is very heavy in this movie. Some parts I didn't like it. I thought it was a little too much. But in certain scenes, the music was perfect. The other one that jumps out of my head was the first Harley scene, and they play in a Super Freak or Rick James.
Oh yeah.
I thought that worked dope. It just set it. I was like, okay, yeah, she is a super freak.
Yeah.
And I love like there's the shot where she's sitting at the table with Joker, and this is before she's went crazy. And I don't know if you heard it, but they start warping the Super Freak music as they faded out. And so it starts going, I was like, that's kind of filthy. And it just kind of shows how she's getting warped by talking with this dude. And again, Joker, man, like Jared Leto, he even says in interviews now that they cut most of his stuff out of the movie. I don't know why. I think it might have been too crazy. But you could tell he went all in on this role, man.
Like, yes, I agree.
He looked, I need a machine gun. I was like, what are you doing? Another standout. Go ahead.
I was going to say my least two favorite characters, and a character that I did not understand was the Swords Lady. She was like an Asian character. Asian
ninja or something.
Yeah, mafia killed her husband. Her husband's soul was in the sword. I was like gone with it. That was way far left for me. But then, like, the Australian guy, like, what did he do? Like
Captain Boomerang.
Oh, the Boomerang. Okay. So he did have an Australian accent. So, I mean, I didn't really like him too much, but the ultimate that I did not like was the freaking crocodile, killer croc. Wait. I do not know what is going on or what was going on with his character, but it was horrible. Like, towards the end, he, you know, had a request of, BET, which I call EBT channel, and I'm like, really? And they showed a clip towards the end where he's in the sewer.
He's in the cell. Sewer cell.
And he's watching EBT twerking, a video with the chicks twerking. I'm like, really?
The thing was, his character was a nigga.
Oh.
All right. That's what he was. He's played by, and I can't think of the guy's name, but I call him Adebisi.
Ooh.
Anyone who's watched, who knows the Oz show, you know that's that African dude. He's been in Lost. He's been in a ton of stuff. But that was him underneath that. But I just think that his character was, and I'm joking, but he was a N-I-double-G-A, you know, like, because it's stuff, listen to the stuff he's talking about in the movie. And there's one part where he was, I ain't asking, bruh.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm beautiful. Ugh. And if you just, his whole thing, his whole movie, all he really was.
Right, right.
I mean, it was a little kind of cooning, a little bit.
Yeah, capital C.
Yeah, I like her. You know, they didn't really give him much. And then when they did give him something, look who wrote this movie. And I give David Ayer credit, but I'm just saying, you know, it's written from a certain point of view. So, he's black. We got to sort of illustrate that. So what request would he want? A black inmate? I want BET.
Who in the hell of all the cable channels out there?
Well, that's what you people like. That's what this.
But even a cable channel request seems a bit cheapened.
Well, when you see what he was watching. So again, in their mind, I guess that was BET Uncut he was watching. And his whole character, like his face, he was like, yeah. Mm. And then it pans to the screen. And incidentally, it was white women.
Hmm.
You know, booty shots. And then it was like some rapper dude in the middle. I was like, oh, hey, he's in his element. Yeah. So anyway, he was hilarious. He was a little over the top there. Yeah. They didn't give him much. The other part about his character, too, he was corny in the movie. Like, there was a lot of corny stuff in this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
A couple of those shots where they always had to show him, like, slow-mo walking or that type of thing. And his character was over. It was, like, more jive-ass. I noticed that. Like,
shucking and jive.
Yeah, I was like, why is he walking? Is this overextended stroll? It's like, I could just see them, like, cut! Killer Croc, can you just be more jive-ass and put a little more? There's a classic video of George Lucas showing the actor who's playing Jar Jar Binks how to do like that, you know, that you know, buck dance kind of walk type of thing. And that kind of was putting that on him. I don't know why. And there's a couple of scenes. There's the scene where Harley Quinn has her fight in the elevator with those monsters.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And when the door opens, Killer Croc, once again, he's doing that over-exaggerated, like, oh, yeah. What the fuck are you doing? And then, of course, they had his character wear a hoodie to the movie. But anyway, I'm going to let that go.
Please.
Let him go.
Take a breather.
All right. What was some of the other characters?
Rick Flag?
Rick Flag. RoboCop. That's what I call him. He played RoboCop. Right. He was also in that one show, The Killing.
Oh, The Killing.
He was that meth, kind of meth head cop.
Meth detective, yeah.
But I liked him in this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought he did the job very well. He kind of, he's that real tough type, army type dude.
Yeah.
He was in a relationship with the Enchantress, and we must talk about the Enchantress character. That character is creepy.
Right, but back to Rick Flag really quick. But he was a shithead that gave her the ammo to kind of take over the world. Like, who does that? Like, I don't think that she was controlling his mind or whatever, because she has, like, all these spiritual magic crap powers. But he was the problem. Like, you know, the whole subway scene.
I blame Amanda Waller. Like, really? There's no reason you have that type of character out in the wild. Like, she's too crazy, and she's an evil spirit, and he ain't. There's nothing he could do, really. I mean, she just teleports, and she gets in his head. He's just a soldier, like he was in love with that lady. That was
too much in love, drowning in the pee in love.
But that's what Amanda Waller wanted. And she said all that. That's what I'm saying. I ultimately blame her. Actually, the whole movie's fault is hers.
Yeah, okay, I can see that.
Right?
Right.
But yeah, that I will say this, the Chance's character, I love that part when Amanda Waller first shows her, and there's that shot where the girl says, Enchantress or whatever, and you see the hand, like,
oh,
flip her
creepy.
Hand. Yeah,
yeah,
that was a trip. I was like, whoa, and she's like standing there, and she just looked crazy. Like, she stepped out of one of them horror movies, you know, that one of them
Ring. Oh, you know, when that girl came out the well.
Yeah. She was on some other stuff, man. I'm like, whoa. And that was the interesting thing about this movie, because this movie, and I didn't know if you knew that going into it, because you kind of asked me a question at the beginning, but this movie is a part of the Man of Steel movie, and it's, you know, the next direct movie after Batman versus Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes place in the same world, dealing with the same characters.
Right.
And her character is interesting because she is purely a magic type of character, which is not necessarily on display in any of these other movies. And it's a whole different element where it's not somebody that has, like, special powers. It's somebody who can do magic.
Right.
Which is always something that's hard for Superman to fight, or it's because...
Right.
Because they have magic. So it was interesting to them to sort of put that element in this universe. Mm-hmm. To me, some of them shots also look like some Ghostbusters, like, you know, the whole swirling light thing coming out. I was like, man, I look just like Ghostbusters. Like, what's going on here? Are they going to come running off the side of the screen or something?
No, but like you were just saying, just a little bit, add a little bit more onto that. Like, because I was kind of confused because, you know, with the whole comic book DC Marvel stuff, they seem to, like, kind of put little pieces of other parts of the movie in there, and then they showed a shot where, you know, Superman's funeral, whatever, and he was gone, and then Amanda Waller's like, well, you know, I'm just paraphrasing. Okay, he's gone. Now we need some new people because we need, you know, some superheroes, or they use a term in there, metahuman or something.
Metahuman, yeah.
Metahuman. And so I'm like, whoa. And then I asked, I'm like, wait a minute, why are they showing this shot? And how did that correlate and all combined? And I'm like, you know, maybe I need to read a comic book or something because I feel so left behind.
Well, it's, you know, I don't think you need to read the book. It's just, and again, I don't know how much a person who doesn't watch these movies, it's just a sequel to this previous movie, essentially. So it's like, it's a credit and a discredit, because there'll be people like you that not really watching these movies like that and may not know that this is connected. And again, these movies aren't called the same thing, right? It's not like it says Superman 3 or, you know what I mean? So you don't know if it's related or not. But yeah, I think they had to show that whole Superman thing for people like you who may not have seen Batman v Superman, which you did see it though, but maybe you didn't catch that, maybe forgot what was going on. So they kind of put that in there just in case people don't know. Here's sort of the reasoning behind her actions. And but again, on one hand, it's cool if they do that, but the danger is some people are not going to catch those references. And that's why these movies ultimately have to stand on their own. So you don't have to go watch all these other movies to understand what is going on. Which I think this movie does well enough. You know, they got to get these criminals.
Right.
They set that up and then they go on a mission and there you go. You know, of course, there was we mentioned the Batman cameos.
Right.
So you kind of see how that plays into it. They showed a quick cameo of the Flash.
Yes.
Which was kind of cool.
On that.
Yeah. That was cool. And then there. We're jumping around here, and again, I said we're doing spoilers, but that last little mid-credit scene that they showed, you know, that was Amanda Waller talking to Bruce Wayne.
Right.
And she gave him those files, and in those files were the Flash and Aquaman. And for those who are really paying attention, if they saw that Justice League trailer, that sort of sets up how Batman goes to find those people. Because he got the information from Amanda Waller. And even she threw in there that she knows that he's Batman, and he kind of turned around and said, "Bitch." He didn't say bitch. He said, "You better shut this shit down, or I'm going to shut your shit down. I'm going to bring some people with me, essentially the super, you know, Justice League, and we'll come and handle this situation, handle you."
Right.
So that was very interesting. I thought that was really good to really set up, you know, this is a bigger thing going on. And it was interesting that Bruce Wayne said, "You're going to be under my protection."
That's very interesting.
And I know, I don't read these books, but I've seen pictures and stuff. I've seen there's a cover of some book. I don't know if it's Suicide Squad or some other book, but it's a cover of a comic, and it has Amanda Waller on it, like she's arguing with Batman or something. So they obviously must have some kind of funny history.
So do you think that when he said that, do you think he meant that literally, or do you think he meant that from a, I guess, a political sense, like, okay, well, if they found out you did it, then you're going to need my protection, or are you going to really need my physical protection?
I think probably both.
Okay.
You know, and I think, and the other part of it too is that I know Bruce Wayne is not feeling these bad guys. Of course, he took down Deadshot. They show that. They show him taking down Harley Quinn and Joker. And they showed in this movie, it went by the screen so quick, and I only saw it the second time. Mm-hmm. When they first introduced Harley Quinn's character on screen, and they did this with all the characters for the most part, they had like this text that would come on and sort of their resume of what they've done.
Right.
And on the Harley Quinn one, it said real quick, it says something to the effect of had a hand in Robin's murder.
I didn't see that. See, I didn't see
it. It was real
time.
Quick. It was really fast. But with that being said, of course, Batman is not, you know, he gonna be on her ass.
Right.
Just like Joker. So, you know, him helping Amanda Waller, knowing that she has murderers and killers, somebody who's directly killed his own people. Right. Yeah, he's not with that. That's why he said, "You need to shut this down, because I'm be on your ass." So it's interesting. And that's why I said the whole thing of this movie, though, these are bad guys. Like, they're not heroes. You know what I'm saying? They are villains. They're murderers. But that's what made it cool. And I hope they can do more movies.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, I think Harley Quinn, man, excellent portrayal.
Right. Absolutely.
Will Smith. And again, bravo to Will Smith. Like, he really showed you why he's popular. Like, that charisma and all that was on full display in this movie.
Right.
The second, oh, real quick, the second time I'm watching it and they do the whole part with his daughter, that started to get to me in a good way, but I was really kind of feeling his character now. I was like, as a dad, and he's like, and they're doing this to pull the heartstrings and sort of humanize him, but I was really feeling his struggle. Like, he wanted to be a good dad, even though he's a bad guy. You know, it was very, it's interesting. You know, now, conspiracy brother again.
Here we go.
You know, the last thing we see of him is in the ghetto. He's on parole. White daddy standing right there. So I'm going to let you speak to your kids now.
Right.
And then here come the rest of the police in the house with chains to lock him, to take him back to the plantation. But I'm not going to get into
that. Okay, please don't get into that. But I will say, with that scene, like, the kitchen was really, like, it was disgusting. Yeah. It was gross. And I'm like, wait a minute. Swamp. You just saved the world, and you can't get your daughter a penthouse?
Exactly. They couldn't put her up in nothing better than that?
Yeah, that's kind of weird to me. So I don't know. They need to come better. But I don't know, you know. You know, I will say, you said something earlier about everybody being a bad guy, and then they all locked them back up. But the Swords lady, like, where did she just disappear?
Well, she wasn't a villain. She worked with the military. They didn't explain her character.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they remember she was brought in after they had brought in. She was like, she's here to keep you in check as well.
Right, but she's a killer. So I guess she just get the run free.
But she's like a black ops person.
Okay.
You know, so, yeah. She's,
okay, I got you.
But yeah, her character... And I've heard of her character before, but they don't really explain much about her. And I can understand. There's a lot of people on screen, so there's a lot to be dealing with. But, yeah, she just – I agree with – she comes out of nowhere, and she's essentially some badass, you know, kung fu ninja, you know, just taking everybody down and just kind of like, well, how did they have her? Where did they find this person?
Right.
And then there's some mystical element because her sword – mm-hmm. There's souls in the sword, like, yeah. Again, more magic type stuff. But you know, you ride along with it. It is a comic book.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, last thoughts. Movie is very entertaining. I had a great time with it. Again, it's got things in the story that are just kind of like thrown in. The villain kind of thing. It's like, oh, it's just another fighting sort of mindless bad guys that. I never thought the Suicide Squad was in any real danger. Okay. Like, I didn't think they was ever going to get killed or something.
Right.
Because they were bad at taking everybody down. And those monsters, they had no personality, so there was nothing to humanize them. They were just kind of cannon fodder. But I think the whole point of the movie was to show them be a team and the interactions between the characters, which they did excellent, in my opinion. So I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I enjoyed it as well. And... you know, it was my first time seeing it, and I would love to see it again. I really need to pay attention to the music because they did play some really good music. I'm almost tempted to go online and just listen to the soundtrack. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the Super Freak was great, you know, a great choice. So whoever was a musical composer, if I could say that, did a good job.
Yeah, there was I know they had an Eminem song.
Yeah, Shady, yeah.
And I think the other good song, and I think it was Kanye, and I don't know why, of course it was Kanye, but it was the song that they play when Deadshot was given all those guns, and he was shooting, you know, showing them that he could shoot well, and that song, I think that was a Kanye thing. But that, it really worked in that scene. I was like, okay.
Right.
So yeah, excellent movie. Definitely go check it out. Last thing I will say for DC, because I know there's still a lot of this movie, I guess, apparently is super, got a super low rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's ridiculous to me.
Yeah, and you know, I can see why their critics would not like this movie. I get it. But I will say this. I'll say this to DC. Now that you've had three movies, you dropped two this year. Now, a lot of people didn't like Batman v Superman. I love that movie.
Me too.
a lot of people didn't like this movie. I like this movie. You liked it. I don't like this movie better than Batman Superman, but I still think it's a great movie. It's fun.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I think at this point, they need to just give the people what they want to see. They have so many great elements that always feel like you don't get enough. Like in Batman v Superman, Batman himself was excellent. They need to just show us more Batman. In this movie, Harley Quinn, excellent. Joker, excellent. You need to show more of that because you have a lot of great pieces that could have, I think if it had just been a Harley, Joker, Deadshot or something, mm-hmm. the movie would have been out of control. Like if it was just them, you know what I'm saying? Like if you just got more of that, because that's what works.
Right.
Obviously, this movie got edited and changed for some weird reason. You know, before the movie came out, there was tons of reports about Jared Leto and his antics on the set. And like he was going deep into the character and he was doing all this weird stuff with the cast. Now, watching this, I'm like, why? Because he's in it for like seconds. So apparently all of that stuff got cut for whatever reason. But I'm just saying, going forward, just stick to what it is, the vision of whoever's making the movie. If it's going to be dark or whatever, then let it be what it is. Don't be worried about critics and all that so much, because you're going to I think they'll change the movie so much that they're not what they're supposed to be. And I don't think that's what filmmaking is about. Filmmaking is about letting it just be art, man. If they don't like it, so what? They'll like it later. This movie was great. It got panned, but so what? The people like it.
Right.
You know, the movie's doing great at the box office. It's doing excellent numbers. So just don't be scared to make the movie the way you want to. Critics be damned, man. Who cares?
Exactly.
You know, appease the audience. So that's all I got to say. Go check out the movie. Let us know what you thought about the movie.
Yes, definitely.
If you liked it or didn't like it, what you didn't like it, let us know. If you did like it, what was your favorite character? Shout out to I think he was a Native American brother uh-huh. in the movie, Slipknot. They took his ass out so quick. And I was funny because I was like, they didn't give him no backstory. I'm like, well, and I was like, oh, he ain't going to make it.
right. That was quick. It was so quick. Like I almost forgot about him until you just said something. Yeah.
They did him dirty.
Yeah, they did. But overall, I did enjoy the movie. I would like to see a movie with the Joker and Harley Quinn. I don't know. They should title it Pudding. It's so hilarious. Cute. She had that a necklace on. It was called Pudding. And, you know, so that's what she called the Joker. And I would really highly enjoy something like that. But overall, I do believe the movie is good. Go see it. Go see it a couple times. Break it down, because I don't think one time is justice, you know, that you could see it, because there's so many good elements. The movie is good. The music is good. The characters are good. So you want to go see it multiple times.
Yeah. Yeah. And I definitely will be picking this one up when it comes out. I hope they do the Ultimate Edition like they did the other movie, because
yes.
I can tell there's a lot that they probably didn't put. This movie could have been. They should have just made it R-rated, like
right.
Cats is blowing cats. let them go ahead and do their thing. But excellent movie, definitely check it out. All right, before we get off of this thing, we also and I played the commercial before the show. But again, your new book.
Yes,
my novel is out. What's the title of the book? Let them know.
Confessions of a Temp Call Girl. And it is not what you think. Some people think, oh, you know, but that title is just a book about, you know, a woman and her hooker, you know, or professional escort tales. And it's nothing like that. Actually,
well, maybe it is. Go read it to find out. No,
you know what? It's not no smut, no dirty, nothing. So if you're into that type of stuff, then you know that this book is not for you. But if you want some mystery, some suspense, some thriller, a kick-ass main character with a lot of attitude and some comrades to help her along the way, then my book is for you. It's on sale at Amazon.com. It is book one. And book two is coming out real soon, so go ahead and get a copy of that.
All right, and once again, the book title is called
Confessions of a Temp Call Girl.
All right, so definitely go check that out. We'll put a link to that as well. And with that, we about to get up out of here. We got some things to do. Gracie's like, get off the mic. Time to be a parent. So that's what we're about to do. And hey, as I always say, work it like a job. We'll see you next time.
Peace out.